Hey there, mamas, and welcome back to the New Mama Marriage Bliss Show. If you're new, welcome. I'm Aliza Saeed, and if you are coming back again, welcome back. So imagine that you want to start doing yoga, and you search YouTube, and you find a really cool yoga video, and then as you start, you are watching this teacher teaching her yoga, and you see this young, perfect hair flowing, perfectly fit with her perfect green shake from her perfect morning routine yoga teacher, teaching you how to live a beautiful, blissful life, when you're looking at her and realizing that that is so far from your reality. Sound familiar? It sure has happened to me. And I believe that we need to make life a little more real. And as moms, we don't always have the time to do a 90-minute workout or for luxurious self-care practices. But that doesn't mean we can't take care of ourselves. And it doesn't mean we shouldn't take care of ourselves. We need to take care of ourselves, maybe even more so. In today's episode, we talk about self-care for moms and how to make it real. And while we're keeping it real, I will say that we recorded this episode with my beautiful baby sitting on my lap because she was not going to have it any other way. So you might hear her a little bit in the episode, and I decided not to edit it all out because let's just keep it real. In this episode, I got to speak to Josefina Eligi, who's a certified yoga teacher who specializes in yoga before, after, and beyond birth. She grew up in Argentina and moved to Switzerland in 2011. She's passionate about helping women welcome the changes that occur during pregnancy, navigate the first months after birth, and rediscover themselves in their new role as mothers while continuing to pursue their goals and aspirations. Enjoy the episode. Hey, and welcome to the New Mama Marriage Bliss Show. I want to help you get out of the overwhelming distance and guide you to reconnect to yourself and to your husband. You know you want things to be different, but you're probably not sure how to make it happen. Well, mama, you're in the right place. Here we will dive into all the things you need to start loving your life and relationship and start living like soulmates and not roommates anymore. We will dive into motherhood, marriage, communication, holistic inspiration, and practical hacks and tips. Mama, I believe that transformation and deep connection await you. Hi, I'm Aliza Saeed, proud mama and grateful wife, and the Mama Marriage Coach. You too can turn your mess into magic. Come on, mama, and let's do it together. Hi, Josefina Eligi. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure. So,
why don't you tell us who you are?
Well, I am Josefina. I am from Argentina originally, and I have been living in Switzerland for the past 11 years. I came here because of two reasons. My husband, well, then boyfriend, and I came here to study. I did a master's in Lucerne as a textile designer back then. and then I became a yoga teacher afterwards, but just to give a little bit of context, I started my yoga journey quite many years ago. I wasn't the everyday practicing type of person. I started, I went to yoga for some time when I was in my 20s because of my neck and my head. I was studying a lot and I had these headaches. And I always thought how cool to teach yoga. I love teaching yoga now. And I always thought this is a wild dream because, I was always told that, stick to the books. You're not maybe, the moving type. I wasn't very good at sports. So, that was really out of the question. And, and it took me quite a long time to realize, of course, yoga is more than just asana or, the positions or the poses. So, I came to a point in which I got pregnant back in 2015 and I had a really difficult birth experience. So after that, I did yoga, on and off all during the past, I would say, yeah, the past 10 years or a bit more. But I was never consistent. And then I did yoga for pregnancy, and then I had my baby in the 29th week. So wow. It was really, really, really tough. He was in the neonatal. Something clicked there. And then I did my teacher training, the first one. And then I started digging a little bit. Okay, let's see. Let's dig into the prenatal aspect of yoga or that specialty. And it's something touched. I guess it touched a fiber there. I thought like, well, there's something here. And I had the need to go deeper into that because I thought, well, I had a really difficult time, being away from my family and my friends and my tribe. I guess that makes everything more complicated. You feel very isolated. And I thought like, well, maybe some of my experience can help someone else. And I thought, okay, this is it. So I chose to start teaching pre and postnatal yoga. And yoga for busy moms, I would say, because many of us also, you have a family and you want to also do your own projects, even if you're
at-home mom.
Yeah, you also want to do things for yourself besides being a mom and besides being there for your kids. You also want to do things that fulfill you, or you have a professional career. I don't know. So I thought like, yeah, this is something that touches me, that resonates with me. So I want to share it further.
That's amazing. To go from a textile designer, you said, to a yoga teacher. That's a pretty great journey. And I know, and I hear one as you're speaking, that self-care is something that's very important to you. And you kind of touched on it, that you said that yoga is much more than just moving your body. So I'd love if you could tell us a little bit of that.
Well, I think, first of all, I think like many people get intimidated by this idea of the very the stereotypical Western yoga teacher, very thin, very athletic, very much into, getting up at 5 in the morning and doing a 90-minute practice and drinking your smoothie, which is completely fine. But it's probably doesn't match the reality of most moms out there. And I was never this type of person. I was never super athletic or super thin. I always think like I was probably never the fittest person in the room. So start embracing that and saying, okay, maybe I don't have 90 minutes, but maybe I have 15. And instead of scrolling through your phone, through Facebook or through Instagram and, saying like, oh, I don't have the time. Well, you actually do have the time. You just spend it in doing other things, right? Without judgment. I mean, I also do that. It's not that I am like, above that. I also scroll down through my phone and I also check Instagram and Facebook. I just think like we as mothers, we needed to, or as parents, we need to create that space, those 15 or even 5 minutes for yourself. Or, and it doesn't have to be yoga. I'm always saying like, okay, if you don't know how to meditate, you can also choose a guided meditation or just breathe, like stay and quiet for a moment and breathe, or make yourself a cup of tea, or, and make that a little bit of a ritual. I also don't practice 90 minutes per day because that doesn't match my lifestyle. That it's not realistic. I don't have that time to go to a studio or, whenever I can, I try and do. I almost never do 90 minutes, but I do have, I want to have the consistency of showing up and doing maybe 15, 20, 30, 40 if I have the chance. But I see it more like that. It's not about the poses, and it's not about like, like coming into an impossible or feeling discouraged because, there's someone who's like, yeah, of course, maybe 15 years younger and all that person does is that. Yeah, of course, they are going to do amazing flows and be super, you know, flexible and body abled. But that's not everyone's reality. And I think, like, as mothers, we have to just embrace that and say, okay, I have 5 minutes. What can I do in those 5 minutes? Yeah, just breathe.
I love that. I feel like sometimes when we hear the idea of self-care, we imagine, you know, like this bubble bath with wine glasses on the side, and like, who in the world has that in their life as a ritual? Like, come on, we're moms here. And I actually have an episode about making time for mindfulness for moms. One of the things that I spoke about there also is about how, like, we imagine this, you know, like, beautiful retreat area and like having this perfect whatever, and it doesn't work like that. And it could be as short as a few moments of whatever it is. And I love how you say, you know, just take that time and make it intentional for whatever it is you need.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with going to the salon or, you know, doing your nails and doing all those things. I love doing that. But if it's like only, you know, it can happen only once a month, then, you know, well, something doesn't add up, because also you grow more resentful. I remember that feeling, like, I had this memory, maybe it's a little bit bitter to share, but I was like 4 a.m, you know, breastfeeding my child, having to go to work the next day because I didn't have maternity leave, and scrolling through Facebook. And I thought, like, this cannot be my life. And I thought, like, this is depressing. I don't want this to be like this. But there was, I mean, we are so not much control of, you know, like, sometimes it's like things happen to you, right? And there are many things that are out of your control. What can you control? Well, you can control your breath, and you can control your thoughts. Those are the two things that you can for sure control. You know, and yeah, I thought, like, well, now looking back, of course, I didn't have much of a support system. And that's why I think it's important to create that for you. You know, have a postpartum plan. Once you're pregnant, you start thinking, okay, how am I going to arrange myself, you know, in the household? How am I going to arrange myself if I want to go for a walk with or without my baby? How I'm going to do with, you know, work-wise? How am I going to support myself in those months? And like, those were all the things that I didn't think through. And I regret that, because I thought I was so unprepared. I thought I was being rebellious and saying, like, I'm not going to read any book. I am not going to do like everyone else does, you know, get all super like momzilla, you know, like getting all. And that was a big mistake. I mean, I'm not saying go and read 20 books, read 3, you know, like, be aware of what's going on. Be aware of what procedures you're made be, you know, you're a doula, right?
Yeah.
So you know about that. Yeah, I think, like, I'm not saying you cannot plan everything, because you're going to be confronted with situations that you're not prepared for. But at least you can, you know, plan a bit and think of, you know, the big picture, like what's coming and like, how am I going to do it in a practical way, right? Like, then what happens with you emotionally, maybe, yeah, that's more difficult to get ready for.
Yeah. To say you could plan for the known, and you could lay down foundations for the unknown. Like, there's so much known and unknown that's going to happen. So, yeah, I want to take you back to that night that you were in your bed scrolling Facebook and thinking, that is so depressing. This is not my life. And how'd you get from that to being an empowered mom that is now empowering other moms to live with intention and with self-care?
Well, I mean, it's, of course, we all have highs and lows, right? And that was definitely a low point, because, you know, you're told, like, you should enjoy every moment with your baby, and, you know, everything is precious. And of course, I could see that. And there were moments in which I was like completely, you know, happy and excited about having my baby. But we had such a rough, you know, like a difficult start, that it wasn't always easy to get into that state. And I was very worried about economical stability, financial situation. And everyone was like, yeah, of course you don't have milk. You have to relax. Okay, then, yeah, solve my money situation and then I can relax, of course. It's like everyone telling you what to do. And yeah, that didn't do the trick for me. It took me a lot of work, inner work, to get, you know, more where I am now. Of course, my kid is older. When kids are older, you can see, yeah, they are become more independent. Your life then, or let's say this way, my sister recently told me that someone shared with her, she had a baby last year, and someone told her, now is not always. Now is not forever. So those moments in which are like, oh my God, I have, you know, I haven't slept properly in days and I still have to get up and go to work. That doesn't last forever. That lasts, yeah, it is intense and you have to be, you know, open and surrender to that. But I think, yeah, seeing, you know, of course time gives you the perspective, but I think, yeah, I would have loved to be more prepared to plan a little bit more ahead. And yeah, now, yeah, it's in hindsight, everything is like, it's easier, right? Like you can see, oh, I shouldn't have done that. And that's why I want to share what I know or what my experience was, because I think like, oh, I could help someone who's like not very aware of what might come and what are the things that like you should be thinking now before the baby arrives.
Right. And a preemie experience is completely different. Having a baby early is like completely different. It's a whole new experience, which maybe we should come back again and speak just about that, because there's so much that moms, whether a baby's born early or whether the baby needs to be in, you know, neonatal care, whatever happened, it's a hard beginning. Yes. For the mom as a couple, and a lot of times that, you know, really shakes things up even more than just becoming a mom. I thank God have never experienced it personally, but from people close to me and from other people, I have seen how hard it is. So maybe we could come back another time and talk just about that. But I would love to ask you, if we go back to the self-care. So you spoke about like little ways to kind of, you know, in the 5 minutes, 10 minutes, I wanted to ask you if there is any kind of practice or mindset around self-care that you learned from people around you, like from important people in your lives, maybe your mother, maybe somebody in your life that taught you about taking care of yourself.
Well, I remember I don't know if it was like very intentional, but I remember my aunt on my mom's side, she showed me how to do I would say like 30 years ago, like how to do Nadi Shodhana, which is the alternate nostril breathing technique, which is done by closing one side of the one side of the nose and then breathing in and exhaling, exhaling always through the opposite side. So you're inhaling and exhaling and then you switch. So you are balancing. It's a balancing practice, which is it is said to be balancing the energy channels in the body, and I love that because it really helps me calm down. It really helps me to I don't know. I get into a different state of mind. I mean, it sounds like, oh, wow, it's just your breathing, right? But no, it's very, very powerful. And I don't know. She taught me that. She didn't say the name. She didn't tell me like where does that come from? And she said like, it really helps to lower, you know, anxiety and to release fear. And I thought like, let's give it a try. And I remember doing it like before exams or things like that. And I think it's so beneficial for moms, and it's also good for postpartum because it's warming. So it's not a cold type of breathing technique or pranayama. So I love that one, for example.
That's so special that you got it a long time ago and it is with you. Wow, is it something that you teach your child also? You have a son, right?
Yeah, I have a son, yes. And I am now bringing him to a kids yoga class and he loves it. So I am very, very proud and yeah, happy for him that he gets to experience this body awareness very soon, very early in his life. I think that's important that he also learns how to, you know, regulate himself, not as a suppress or, you know, repress his feelings, but to, yeah, to understand like where his body parts are. I had no body awareness probably for many years. And I, when you first started, it's like, oh, this feels super tense or tight.
I used to do yoga more. So I remember like finishing a yoga practice and then I'd say to my husband, like, oh my goodness, I have muscles I didn't even know were there. Yeah. Like I felt something that I never felt. And it's so cool to have that body awareness. It's so important. Yeah. I have a really important question that I debate with my husband a lot. Can errands be self-care? Is going to the supermarket considered self-care? What do you think?
I would say no.
No. I'll tell him.
Going alone to the supermarket as a treat, I don't think that's self-care. I think you need just 5 minutes and in 24 hours, you should be able to find 5 minutes for yourself. I always put this example or think of this example. If your kid is sick and you need to book an appointment for the doctors, right? Like you're going to drop whatever you need to drop in order to get there and make sure that your child is being taken care of, right? So with, I wouldn't say the same type of urgency because it's different, but if you're able to drop everything and make that time for, you know, for that, why can't you take, and that might take you maybe 2 hours, right? Why can't you take 5 minutes for yourself? And again, the example of Facebook or Instagram, we spend so much time in platforms, like checking things that are completely, you know, I mean, I've been there. I'm not saying again, right? I do that. But once I realize, okay, I am spending so much time here while I could be doing something else. I could be reading. I could be doing something much more enriching or, you know, like something that it's really does good to me. Of course, there's information and there are things that I really enjoy and that I can learn, but you know, I'm talking about like spending time in things that are really not useful or don't add anything, don't make you better.
Yeah, actually, this past weekend, we had a close family friend who was killed in a car accident. And he was a father of two young children and just a really amazing person. And the most powerful thing that I kept feeling was just like how life is so short and you never know like what can happen. And not that we have to walk around scared all the time, but it definitely made me like feel in my bones how we have to really fill up every moment with things that mean something, with things that are going to fill us up and things that, I mean, he was a person that completely lived his life so full every minute. I can't picture him not smiling and like doing something for someone else. And to really just be able to, that it like completely reframed my whole mindset. And that day I was like complaining about something so petty. And then after things like that happen, you're just like, what, those things, like they so don't matter in the long run. In the long run, what matters is what good things we fill our lives with. And it like completely gave me this like slap in the face in Absolutely. Many ways. But I totally, sorry to bring it down to this, to that place, but it was like a complete wake up call of exactly what you're saying. Like how many moments in our lives do we know how to spend on nothing? And let's just, you know, really be aware of how we're spending our time and living life to the fullest.
Absolutely. And to connect with, you know, with people, to connect with your friends, with your family, with your, you know, your children, to connect it. And I think like, you know, if you're talking to a tired mom, it's like, ah, yeah, and you can get to spend more time with your children. It's like, no, no. And that's why I think self-care is important, because when you fill your cup, this is a, like an overused phrase, but when you fill your cup, you are ready to give to others and, you know, share with others and play with your kids and cook with them and teach them things or read them a book or go to the park. When you are depleted, when you feel like, I remember feeling completely resentful. I remember thinking like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go to the park. I you know, I just want to lay down and watch some silly series on TV, because you don't have, literally, you don't have the energy to do that. But if you, you know, put aside maybe, and it doesn't have to be, again, doesn't have to be 90 minutes. You can just, you know, do some stretches before going to bed, or, you know, you get up and you do something nice for yourself, and you know that whatever the day brings, whatever challenge you happens, you have something to go back to. You can always, and I always see my mat. I try to leave it always open next to my bed, and I always see it, and it's kind of an invitation. I always feel like, okay, it's there. I can always get back there, and it doesn't matter if I am doing it right or wrong, or if it looks Instagrammable or not. It's just for me, and I am not competing with anyone else. I am. It's not about who's the fastest or who's better at these. It's for me. It's my practice, and I cherish that, because it's so empowering. Also to see like, oh, I wasn't able to do these last week. If you want, you know, if you want to compete with yourself, you can, you know, check that. But also like how your mind is functioning. I notice when I skip my practice, I have a worse mood. You can ask my husband about that. yeah, I noticed those benefits, and I think it's so valuable.
Yeah, thank you so much. I would love to ask you, I like to ask all my guests short and sweet questions, just to get different perspectives on motherhood. So I would love to hear from you what you think what is your favorite thing about motherhood right now, or not the favorite, one of the favorite.
Oh wow, that's a difficult question. I love to see how my son evolves from, for example, from something that looked challenging for him, and if I don't push it and if I let him do, and that was a big learning curve for me, if I let him do and trust, you know, the process, how he overcomes whatever fear he has, and then he moves forward. And he's so proud of that. And I like to be planting, you know, a seed of like self-confidence, because I can see, and I am always going to try to, you know, to create a fertile soil for that to grow in him, to get self-confidence and to, you know, like to accept himself. I love that. I love being able to be there for him in those moments. I don't know. It's a bit difficult to put it in words, and I don't know if it was clearly articulated, but.
I mean, I understand what you mean and the way that I understand it in my motherhood, but I get it completely. Thank you. How about something that's really challenging in motherhood?
Oh, well, in my case, it's not losing my patience. Mm-hmm. I always try to stay calm and say, okay, you know, let's let the storm pass and not, you know, get involved in the discussion or not raise my voice. That is sometimes a bit challenging, but I also learn when, you know, I think we're always learning as mothers. It's not like, okay, the baby was born, that's it. It's like, no, that's not it. That's just the beginning. And as soon as you think like, okay, I got this, I know there's something else. And they evolve. And as they evolve, they have different needs and different, different patterns and different ways of, you know, there's perhaps last year it was all about I don't know, fairies and very fantastic world, and now it's all about something else. And yeah, you have to go with them, right?
Yeah, and as they evolve, we evolve too, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. So for our last question, I know that you have been doing these amazing Instagram lives. I was actually so honored to be on one of them as well. I think I was the first, right?
The first one.
I was the first. So since then, you've done many, many more. I was pregnant with my baby that's now sitting on my lap here that probably our listeners have been hearing throughout this episode. So would you like to share with us one tip that either you learned from your experts that or something about self-care that they've shared? And I would recommend all our listeners to go listen to all those lives because they're very valuable. So one tip for moms from...
Well, I guess I have, I remember a few, for example, like the importance of getting enough sleep and proper sleep. This is a big one. The importance of getting enough food, especially postpartum. And I'm talking because this is super important, you know, this pressure of wanting to get back to, you know, the pre-pregnancy, whatever shape. I think those two things are so much more important than going and, you know, starting running or doing something that is actually not beneficial for your body. You know, many women have this, no, I need to get back into moving. I have my big doubts about it. I really, really think it's all about rest. Of course, it's tricky when babies don't sleep, but finding a moment to rest and getting proper nutrition, like no dieting, no fasting, really eating very, very well. And if you need help with that, go to a professional. That's
right. And we don't understand how much it impacts everything else until we're doing it right. Like, yes. I don't remember after which child it was, but I was like totally sleep deprived. And you were talking about kind of, you know, moms being resentful. When we're in a constant survival mode, we forget that we're in that mode and we think that that's just life. And then when we have these bursts of moments of getting out of it, then we're like, oh, I'm actually a happy person. Like, I actually can be patient, you know? So it's so impactful. And we only realize it once we take care of ourselves with what we eat and how we sleep and take care of ourselves in general. And that's why it's so important, everything that you do. So thank you so much for being on here. Where can our listeners find you?
I am on Instagram after saying so much. My handle is Josefina Yoga, everything together, Josefina with J and with F, not with PH. And otherwise on my website, www.josefinayoga.com. And yeah, I have a couple of freebies coming up. So if people want to go there and check them out, they are absolutely free to download. And yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. We will have it all linked down Perfect. Below. But thank you so, so much. This was awesome.
Thank you, Alisa. Thank you so, so much. Always a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks for listening to this episode. If this has been helpful to you in any way, please share it on with others and let's spread the love together. Also, if you want to be a part of a mama tribe where we support each other on this epic journey of motherhood and marriage, click the link in the description box below to join the new Facebook group. In this group, I'll show up for weekly lives, workshops, and we can expand on the topics we talk about here on the podcast. So click down below and I'll see you in the group.